Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13 simply says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter 9, verse number 50. "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another." This morning, I want us to deal with a subject that is very important to all of us. It is a subject that the Lord takes a portion of nature and reveals to us that there's something there that we can have in our heart and our lives for the good of ourselves and for others around us. He says there in that first verse, Matthew 5:13, "Ye are the salt of the earth." I want to just think about some things this morning about that little particle, that little grain of salt that we all have on our kitchen tables. We use so many different ways. And the Lord uses this as an illustration that we are the salt of the earth. I read this week about a place in Poland. And it's a church. And I want to read you just something about this particular place. I'm going to show you some pictures of it. This cathedral or this church is located 443 feet underground. It has, I guess, in about 1600, the church or this cathedral was put into position or was hewn out of nothing but salt. This is a salt mines. Probably it is the oldest known existing salt mine in the world. Started mining salt back in the 13th century. And what you see there is a portion of that. There's miles and miles of trails and places where things are carved into this particular salt mine. And people go through there. I think it said 1.5 million people every year tour this, which is now a museum. It's no longer producing salt since 2007. It was the longest producing commercial salt mine in the world. And because of the low prices and economics, they shut it down, and now it's what was there through the years has now been opened up as a museum. This is part of the cathedral or the church. All this is, everything you see is carved out of the salt. And there's what they call the salt church. And for years, centuries, they had services there. Very beautiful. And parts of it is literally crystal clear, transparent. And you can put different lights, of course, and make it different. I have some other pictures, just didn't have time to put all those on there. But that story is given to us as not only just a feat that man can produce in this place that was a mine that produced salt for centuries, as I read about that, there was those places that it was literally transparent. And you and I this morning, as a child of God, as a Christian, we should be very transparent in our lives of what the Lord means to us and what He does in our heart and our lives. And we should not keep those things secret and those things just to us. And so salt does make a difference. It's a very important commodity. Have you ever heard of the phrase, that individual's not worth his salt? We've all heard that. That comes out of Greece from centuries ago, where they would trade on the slave market. They would trade salt for a slave. And if that slave was no good, he was not worth his salt. And so that slogan or that motto has stuck with us and came down through all these years. I want you to just think about this morning, what's the job of salt? We all know what it tastes like. Sometimes our doctors tell us not to intake so much of it because it's not good for blood pressure and heart and veins, all that stuff. It's good to the flavor, sometimes it's not good for the body. But salt is a very important commodity that is in this world. And the Lord says that we are the salt of the earth. The Lord says that we are something that's very, very important to the world. And I want us to look at just a few things this morning about the importance and what salt does and how we are to apply that to our heart and to our personal lives as a Christian. First thing you think of salt is the flavor or the savor of it. If you have something that has too much salt, it's hard to partake because of the briny flavor to it. But if you have something like a pot of potatoes, please put salt in it. I love potatoes. Any way you fix them, I can't eat them any longer, but I love them. But the worst thing I ever put in my mouth was a potato that did not have any salt. Whew. So salt is that flavor that adds to what is already existing. You and I this morning, as the salt of this world and the salt of the earth, we are to add the flavor that is given to us, to a world around us that does not know anything about Jesus Christ. Our brother this morning shows the video of those folks that come to know the Lord, and probably until the church there that they started and the people that became active in that, probably those folks that had gotten saved had never really heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And when you do that, when you have that, you are that salt that puts flavor into a world that's around you. A lot of people this morning go a lot of places religiously. They do a lot of things under the form of religion. But religion does nothing for us, but we are that salt that is to give flavor to a people and to a world that knows not the Lord Jesus Christ. Without us, they die without the Lord. You see, the Lord has only given one means whereby that the world can hear the gospel. You know how that is? That's through us. He gives us the Word of God, and the Bible says that by the foolishness of preaching, God has chosen that means that people can hear the gospel, that message that's given to a world that needs the message of salvation. And He gives it to us, and we are to proclaim it. We are to present it to a world that does know nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of great things in our society, but the greatest thing that we have is the message of Jesus, the message of Him and being our Savior. So salt gives flavor. Today you'll go out, and many of you, I've eaten with a lot of you, many of you, before you ever taste your food, you know what you're going to do? You're going to take that salt shaker and you're going to pour it on there. Why do you do that? To add flavor. To put flavor. Salt enhances what is there. Now, I don't eat a lot of salt. I just try not to do that. And I hardly ever salt anything. But if I find something that's really bland and has no flavor there, And then I'm going to put a little bit of salt on it because it adds flavor. You and I this morning, as a child of God, we ought to be that flavor to the world that tells them that Jesus is alive. Jesus is real. He's our Lord. He's the one that has helped us and made us what we need to be for Him, and that we have joy in our soul all because of Him. And Jesus talking to His disciples, He said, "You're the salt of the earth." That's pretty important. I'm afraid too many times we may not be worth our salt. I'm afraid too many times we may not live up to where God has put us in that position of showing people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so salt will give flavor. Salt will give and enhance what is already there. Many times folks have heard the gospel and they just simply need some more salt on it. They just simply need some more words. They simply need some more compassion. They need someone to let them know that we care about them and that we are willing to give of ourselves that they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The right reason for every church that's in existence is to be the salt church, to be that one that presents the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Something else that salt does, and we experience it every winter. You go out on your porch or your sidewalk and it's covered with a glaze of ice. What do we put on there? We put salt. Now they have different substitutes today that doesn't hurt the sidewalk and doesn't do, but primarily we say we got to get some salt and we pour it out there, and you know what it does? It melts the ice. I don't know how it does that. I'm sure I could have looked it up and found out what kind of chemical reaction is there. But we just know that's what we have. We have it at our house. You have it at your house. We have salt over in that room. We have salt back here in that hallway. We spread salt everywhere. The fellow comes by and cleans off the parking lot. And this year, he said, "You want me to salt the parking lot?" I said, "Salt it." You know why? We don't want to fall down. We don't want it slick. We don't want ice there. So salt not only gives flavor to food, but it melts the ice, or spiritually speaking, it melts the cold, cold heart. The heart that has no desire to hear the Lord, no desire to hear the message. You know people, I know people. We've talked to folks that as soon as you start talking to them about the Lord, they just sort of turn you off. Oh, they may be polite. Some of them are and some of them are not. They may be polite with you, but really they have not tuned in to what you're saying. But as you continue to knock on their door and their heart and you continue to tell them the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what's happening? The salt of our testimony, the salt of the Word of God begins to melt that heart, begins to break that heart, begins to tear it asunder and begins to expose it for what it really is. The Bible says, who can know the heart? Why, it's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. It is without the knowledge of the Lord. And who can know it? And the very next statement there says, I, the Lord, I know the heart. I understand. God knows our heart. God knows the hearts of our families. Many times in our prayer requests, we have folks that will request prayer for a brother or a sister or a family member or an aunt or an uncle or a dad or a mother. We request prayer for them. What are we doing? We're trying to put salt on them to break that cold, stony heart that is in rebellion against the Lord. It's in rebellion against the Word of God. And Jesus says to His disciples, and as He says to them, He says to us, we are the salt of the earth. We not only give flavor, but we can help break the heart. We can help melt the heart. We can help destroy the barriers that have been placed there by the world and has been placed there by the wicked one, by the devil. So salt is a very important element. It melts the stony heart, the cold heart. It gives flavor to a world. Can you imagine a world without Jesus Christ? Can you imagine a nation without the Lord? Just look around our nation. We're seeing a nation that is gradually becoming without God. But in the midst of that, we are the salt of the earth. We have a job. We have a task. And sometimes we fall so very, very short. Another thing that salt does, some of the younger folks may not identify with this as some of us will, but salt is a preservative. When I was growing up as a kid, we didn't have a freezer, not like all of us have today. We had a refrigerator, and we had a little place that you put a few frozen things in. But we didn't eat out of frozen goods. We didn't do everything at the store. My dad raised his own garden. My mom canned and took care of all that, and he'd kill the hogs, he'd take care of the beef, and we eat that way. And one of the things that we had what we called a smokehouse. Everybody, how many know what a smokehouse is? Well, some of you do, some of you don't. Out of country people may not know what that is. But we had a smokehouse out right behind our house. And every year, I hated it, but every year my dad we'd have hog killing. As good as it was in the after effect, it was terrible going through it. My goodness. But he would take those. Every time you had hog killing, I enjoyed this part because that morning you had the tenderloin and scrambled eggs and all that good stuff, all that fresh meat. But then there's those things that they needed to keep. Now, when we go to the store, we buy it, and we just stick it in the freezer, and we keep it. But they would preserve it. They would have, he had a big old box, probably wider than that, and about that tall, yay wide, and he'd put all the hams and the shoulders, and I would watch him, and he would cover that with salt. I didn't understand that. I said, "Dad, why salt? That don't taste good." He said, "Well, if you don't do it, you're not going to eat it later." And so they would put the salt and they'd wrap it and they'd pour it in the box and they'd smoke it first and they'd pour it, put all that in the box and it would sit there until you wanted it. It was in July the 4th and 105 degree weather, you'd go out there and that meat was still just as good as it was the day they put it in because it had been preserved by the salt. It's a preserving element. Remember, Jesus says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Ye are that person that preserves. It controls, salt controls on those shoulders and hams. It would control the growth of bacteria and mold that would destroy it. I remember the last time my dad ever did that, and he said, "I'll never do it again." We lost everything we had in that smokehouse because the salt was not what it should have been. You know what it done? It had lost its savor. It had lost its effectiveness, and it was no good. The scripture says, what good is it? If the salt has lost its savor, if the salt has lost its power, then what good is it to remain, put it underfoot, trample it under, and go on? Now, we have to be careful there because we are the salt of the earth. And if we lose our effectiveness, if we lose our power, if we lose the that which God has given us, that we are a preserving element, and I believe this morning that the Lord is maybe not giving forth as much judgment upon this country as we deserve, and on this world as it deserves, because this world and our country hates the very thought of Jesus Christ. And we deserve the judgment of the Lord. But you know why God doesn't do that sometimes? Because we are that preserving element that helps the world. We give them the message. We melt their heart. We preserve the things that the Lord has given us, and we try to present it to them. And so therefore salt preserves, and you and I should certainly be that stabilizing effect in our homes and in our families, in our relationships with other people. We ought to be that one that preserves what is right and what is true and right according to the Word of God, His moral laws. There is no such thing in our country today as morality. Not on the national front anyway. No such thing, but you know this morning we are the salt of the earth, so therefore we can preserve that in our homes, in our churches, our families, our friends. We can be that one that would present those things that are just right. Something else that salt does, I love I love country ham, if it's the right saltiness. Country ham, I'm going to make you hungry. It's almost dinner time. Country ham, gravy. Now, I never did care about that, what they call red eye gravy. That's grease and coffee. That's all that is. But that gravy, get a good homegrown tomato. You getting hungry yet? I'm going to shut her down here in just a minute. But you take that ham and that food and you put it in your body, and then all of a sudden, about 15 minutes down the road, you're so thirsty you cannot hardly stand it. You know why? It's because of the salt. Salt makes us thirsty. The scripture says we're to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And if we get enough of the salt in us, that we are the salt of the earth, that will make us thirsty for the righteousness of the Lord. It'll give us that which is good for us. There's an old saying that says, you can take a horse to water, but you cannot make him drink. Well, you give him enough salt, he'll drink. He said, I don't like water. Well, you go home this afternoon, eat you a big slab of country ham, you'll like water just a little while. It causes thirst. And this morning, as a child of God, as a Christian, we're to make people thirsty for the Word of God. We're to make them thirsty for the good things of the Lord. We're to make them desire what we have in our heart, but we can never do that until we show it and give it and motivate them toward the things of the Lord. And so salt causes thirst. I looked up a little bit some other things about salt. It will, we all know that it will cleanse, and it has healing agents within it. There are folks that sometimes have to be cleaned with a saline solution. Cleansing. Thank God for the word of the Lord that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we are to be that presenter of the gospel. Now, Jesus is the only one who cleanses and heals us from our sin. And He is the one that takes care of us and He helps us. And He's wounded. He's taken the salt of the Word of God and healed our wounded spirits, our sin-sick souls, our lives that were useless and hopeless without God. I've heard some of your testimonies, and I've heard you say time and time again, I don't know where I would be if it had not been for the Lord. I didn't have any hope. I didn't have any peace. I didn't have any righteousness at all, just going to and fro. But thank God this morning for the word of the Lord that came and healed us and cleansed us from all of our unrighteousness. Sometimes we get wounded as a child of God. Sometimes we get bruised up pretty bad. We're the salt of the earth. We need to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to be that encouraging. We're to be that one that never, I pray, Lord, never make me a discouragement. Help my words to be an encouragement. Help my words, my actions, my life to be something that would encourage someone to love the Lord and to serve Him more. We can leave a lot of things behind, but may God help us to leave that attitude behind as we walk our life. Salt will sting you. If you ever had a cut and get salt in it, you know where the cut is. You can have a cut on your hand and you not realize it, and you put your hand down in salt water, you're going to find out where it is. Salt stings. And sometimes the words that we give and sometimes the things that we do will sting the world and will sting the lost and the person that doesn't know God. It'll cut them at their heart, and it's supposed to do that because there's a healing process that needs to take place. When I was a kid, one of my friends, he got a cut on his arm. And I'd already gone through this, so I knew what was going to happen. I said, let's go get some salt. That'll take care of it. That'll help it. I mean, he was cut pretty good. I thought, I know what he's going to do. And I didn't know all he's going to do. And so he said, will it help? I said, oh, yeah, it'll stop the bleeding. It'll help everything. So we poured that salt in there. It didn't take long for him to realize that wasn't what he was supposed to, should have done at that moment. Salt stings. It takes that wound and it purifies it. It cleans it and it stings while it does that. And sometimes the Word of God stings us when he's purifying us and helping us. And we as the salt of the earth. Ever have anybody get mad at you because of what you say? Do you ever get someone upset with you? Do you ever have anybody in Brazil get upset with you? Sure. You ever have someone get really upset because you've told them the truth and this is what's going to go on and this is what's going to happen and if you continue, this is the way it's going to end and it stings them? You know what you're doing? You're being the salt that God makes us to be. You're being that person that the Lord has in our plans for our life. When sting gets into a wound or a cut, buddy, it stings. If there's ever a time when our old world that we live in needs to be stung by God, is now. I would have never thought that I would see what I'm seeing in my lifetime. Our country has literally rejected every principle of godliness. And the only thing left is the judgment of the Lord. If America does not repent, and if you see any places where that's taking place and you think it's happening, please let me know. I'd like to watch it. I don't see it happening anywhere. And as things go farther and things get worse, the Word of God becomes more hated because it cuts us at the place of our indignation against Him. And then lastly, you may think this is crazy when I say this, but salt can grow a seed. Well, that doesn't make sense, preacher. If you have something out in your yard, if you have a stump, and you want to get rid of that stump, you pour salt on it, it'll not come back out. If you want to kill something around your yard, you can use salt water and it'll kill it for a while. But salt also will grow something. This is, any time I sign a Bible, this is the verse that I use. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If you were to break out for some reason this morning and tear run down your face, and if you tasted your tears, you know what it tastes? It's salty. He that soweth in what? Tears. Shall what? Reap in joy. The tears that we should weep over the lost might one day bring fruit into our lives. Shall doubtless come rejoicing. This is a verse that tells us if we're going to go out and do it right and sow in tears, then we're going to reap in joy and we're going to doubtless, that means without any doubt at all, we're going to come rejoicing, bringing what? Bring our sheaves with us, our seed with us. He showed the video this morning of the first work and those people that got saved and those first converts of that second work, and when they go back, there'll be a new work and there'll be first converts there. You know what that is? That's sowing the seed of the Word of God and sheaves bringing forth. He that soweth in tears. Have you ever wept any over anybody? Sure you have. All of us do. And those tears are salty because it comes from our body. We are the salt of the earth. And so this morning, when Jesus told his disciples, he is giving the Sermon on the Mount here in Matthew chapter 5 and Luke and Mark, those other two places that it's given. He is telling his disciples and the believers, you have a job to do, and the only way you can do it is to be salty. You have a task to perform, and the only way you're going to perform it correctly is to be salty. Ye are the salt of the earth. May it not be said about you and I that we're not worth our salt. We are, Paul says he was a bondsman for Christ. That word bondsman, what we would use the word slave. As slaves were traded, and they found they were no good and would not do, the expression came about, they are not worth their salt. The salt that they traded for that individual, as wrong as that was the way of doing, and they would trade, part of the payment would be for that slave, would be an abundance of salt. Salt was a very precious commodity hundreds of years ago. And so the expression started and has gone on through today, that individual is not worth his salt. You and I this morning, may God help us, that nobody say about us, they're not worth his salt. We are the salt of the earth. May God help us to preserve. May God help us to melt the hearts. May God help us to plant the seed. May God help us to sting the world. May God help us to do all those things to cause thirst and to give the flavor that's needed for us to go forward, that the world can progress and go forward and realize there is a Lord, there is a Christ, there is a Savior, and He calls. If we are salty enough, we'll do those things to those around us as a Christian. Let's stand together this morning.